Hi all, Pastor Matt Kennedy here, really looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you guys again this week. Kenneth W. Osbeck, in his book 101 Hymn Stories, tells the story of how Robert Robinson had been saved out of a life of sin through George Whitefield's ministry in England. Shortly after that, at the age of 23, Robinson wrote the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Streams of Mercy, Never Ceasing." Sadly, Robinson wandered far from those streams and, like the prodigal son, journeyed into a life of carnality. One day, he was travelling by stagecoach and sitting beside a young woman who was engrossed in her book, she ran across a verse she thought was beautiful and asked him what he thought of it. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love." Bursting into tears, Robinson said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I could enjoy the feelings I had back then." Although greatly surprised, she reassured him that the streams of mercy mentioned in his song still flowed. Mr. Robinson was deeply touched, turning his wandering heart to the Lord. He was restored to full fellowship. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just ask that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, and each of us, myself included, the ears to hear. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would touch us both in the heart and the mind. And we just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So I'm wanting to welcome everyone as we continue in our series on the Beatitudes. So far, we've looked at the first four Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This week, we're going to be looking at the fifth Beatitude, as found in Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Again, I'm hoping that this will be another great scripture for us to delve into as we look closely at the words of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles or Bible devices, please have them ready as we look close at this instruction from our Lord. So to start off with, let's check out what it is that we're speaking of when I use or look at the word mercy or merciful. Mercy is an idea that is it's a necessity to understand how a righteous and just God can deal with a sinful and unjust people. When looking at its definition, it has a number of avenues that we could go down, you might say. Firstly, it is defined as compassionate or kindly forbearance, showing towards an offender, an enemy, or another person in one's power. Compassion, pity, or benevolence, have mercy on the poor sinner type thing. Secondly, it can be the discretionary power of a judge to pardon someone or to mitigate punishment, especially to send to prison rather than to invoke their death penalty. Thirdly, it can be an act of kindness, compassion, or favour. An example might be, she has performed countless small mercies for her friends and neighbours. Fourthly, the dictionary describes it as something that gives evidence of divine favour, blessing. The example being, it was just a mercy we had our seatbelts on when it happened. There are all great definitions in regards to mercy, and each of them speak both into the character of God as well as what Jesus was calling for in this beautiful instruction that he has given to us in some way, shape or form. When we look at mercy through the eyes of the Hebrew word for mercy, it speaks of an emotional response to the needs of others. It means to feel the pain of another so deeply that we are compelled to do something about it. Millard Erickson sums up the mercy of God as being God's compassionate concern for his people, his tender-hearted treatment of the needy. The corresponding term merciful describes a particular quality that we can be truly thankful that our God displays. But it's also a quality that God also expects displayed by his people towards others. It reminds me of a great story about a mother who once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offence twice and justice demanded death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother explained. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. Did you notice here the fact that mercy is where we do not get what we deserve? The mother's son deserved punishment. Justice demanded it. But the emperor trumped justice with mercy, undeserved, unearned, given purely by the grace of the giver. And this is exactly what God has done for us. We have been shown great mercy, undeserved, unearned, given purely by the grace of God. And because God has shown us mercy, he expects us to do likewise. A great Bible passage shows the mercy of God towards other, and his explanation to those who have been shown mercy will in turn show mercy to others is found in Matthew 18. We're going to spend a bit of time looking at this passage. We're going to work our way through it. It's that parable that Jesus tells, known as the parable of the unforgiving servant. The main gist of this has to do with our need for forgiveness and a need to forgive. But the reason this is such a good story to look at regarding mercy is the fact that for forgiveness to be given in these situations, mercy from the person doing the forgiving has to firstly be on display. You might remember the story. The king had called in all of his debts, and there was a certain servant who owed him 10,000 talents. Let's pick it up. Matthew 18, starting in verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made." Now, to put this in perspective, a talent was a large sum of money, huge sum of money. It was the equivalent of 6,000 drachma or denarii, which was the Greek and Roman silver coins that were used in Jesus' day. To put some perspective around this, one denarius was equal to a day's wage. So for the servant who owed 10,000 talents, it would have taken him the equivalent of 6,000 days working to earn one talent. And he owed 10,000 of these things. This would have meant that he would have had to have worked for 60 million days to pay back the 10,000 talents that he owed. That's 164,383 years, 205 days that he would have had to work. And that's not taking into account the cost of living and the money that he would have had to have used to have continued to live from what he'd earned. Or if there was any interest in that matter that may have been accrued. Bottom line, he owed an unpayable debt. He was never, ever going to be able to pay that debt back. He wasn't going to live long enough by a long, 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 long shot. The servant pleaded, therefore, with the king to basically have mercy. Matthew 18, 26 to 27. "So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. When the man pleaded to the king to have patience and to show him mercy, the king gave him that mercy and unbelievably forgave the entire unpayable debt." And friends, this is exactly what God has done for you and I. He saw the predicament that we were in. He could see that we had a debt that we could never pay. And because of his great love for us, which he proved through the greatest act of mercy ever shown, which we see in the well-known passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God chose to show great mercy towards us, his creation, undeserved, unearned, given purely by the grace of God. One of God's amazing attributes is the fact that he is rich in mercy. We see this in Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We truly should be dancing on the streets, guys, in celebration of the mercy that has been shown to us, which led to our forgiveness and a right standing with God. The Penal Herald tells the story of how in a town in Wishaw, there lived an earnest Christian man who became a magistrate. One morning, there appeared before him in the court a friend of his youth who had strayed from the path of righteousness and had committed an offence against the law of the land. Those who knew the relationship between the two men expected the magistrate to deal with the man mercifully. And they were very much surprised when they heard that the sentence was a heavy fine. But they were more surprised when the magistrate went to the officer of the court and he took from his own pocket the money to pay the fine. He did his duty as a magistrate and upheld the law, but he also showed something of the mercy of God for his friend when he paid the penalty for his friend. There is little wonder that the lawbreaker was brokenhearted in his repentance. Friends, this is exactly what Jesus has done for you and I. Jesus gave himself for you and I. Have you given yourself to him? If not, why? Why would you reject the one who has died to bring you life? If you have given yourself to Jesus, if he is your Lord and Saviour, then based on what we see here, you are someone who has received immense mercy and forgiveness. Do you in turn do the same for those around you? Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. As we will see in a tick, this is immensely important. So let's go back to our parable and see what happens next. So Matthew 18:28-31. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. It's a bit rich, isn't it, for this servant to do what he had done. Given the mercy that he had just been shown and his massive debt that had been forgiven. But keep in mind, from what we can see of this story, he was probably fully within his rights to send this servant to prison until the debt was paid. Just like the king was fully in his rights to imprison the other servant and to sell all he had until his debt was paid. The difference between the two scenarios, obviously, comes down to the willingness to show mercy. For us here today, we need to understand that God is fully in his rights to condemn each of us for the sin and rebellion that we have enacted against him and the corresponding debt that that entails. The debt is one that needs to be paid. A just God requires it. But we, of our own accord, we cannot pay back the debt. Instead, we would spend our time in prison that Jesus refers to here. That prison being hell. Back to our passage, as we can see here, the king showed mercy. His servant and he showed mercy to his first servant and forgave the unpayable debt. God has shown mercy to us, his servants, and through his son forgave our unpayable debt. Then the servant who had been shown tremendous mercy from his king did the exact opposite to a fellow servant who owed him a comparatively small amount of money. And he showed him absolutely no mercy and refused to forgive the debt. This, friends, is like you and I to refuse to show mercy. The same mercy that we have received, but much smaller. Mercy to forgive another believer for a wrong that they may have committed against us or someone we care about. Listen carefully. If this is you, if you still hold that grudge, if you refuse to show mercy and forgive those who have wronged you, then you are this servant. This is you. We are expected to show mercy and forgive those who have sinned against us. That's why when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, in what we know as the Lord's Prayer, he included the line, Matthew 6:12, which says, "And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors." Is this you? Do you refuse to let go? Do you refuse to show mercy and forgive someone who has wronged you? This is not the time to play the I'm justified game. I don't have to forgive them game. You can't pull the they don't deserve my mercy or my forgiveness card out of your deck. It may be hard, and I can understand that there would be some exceptionally hard things out there. But friends, we can't ignore or hope that it will just go away. If we refuse to show mercy, if we have refused to forgive from our heart, then we are this servant. You are this servant. It's hard teaching. And the final passage is something very serious to say about what will happen to you. Listen carefully. Matthew 18:32-35. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. When we receive great mercy, which every follower of Jesus has received, then you might say we enter into kind of like a contract. What we receive in mercy and forgiveness, we're expected to show towards others. You see, the problem is that we forget who we are. This is why the Beatitudes are so amazing, though. Let me quickly step you through them. Matthew 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I mean, here we saw the need for us to be humble, to realize that without Jesus we are condemned. We bring nothing to the table regarding our salvation, but that Jesus has done it all and that we are saved by grace and grace alone. We're only saved by the mercy that we have been shown by God, that mercy word. And this leads into the next beatitude, Matthew 5:4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." When we realize our humble position and the true cost of the mercy that God actually has given to us, then we will mourn our own sin, our own part in Jesus having to die for us. We will realize the extent of the mercy that we have received, and we will show mercy to others as a result of this. And this leads us into the next beatitude, Matthew 5:5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Remember, this is strength under control. When we are meek, we will bear the insults. We will bear this stuff without lashing out in proud resentment or retaliation. We leave it to God. We don't go out looking for revenge. Instead, we show them mercy. We show them love and kindness. We forgive just like we have been forgiven. And this leads into Matthew 5:6, the next beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Here we realize the inadequacy of our own efforts for righteousness and how we should have a huge desire to not only be covered by the perfect righteousness of Christ, but also to match our actions and life with our inward standing. That is, we should greatly desire to become more Christ-like, both in thought and in deed. People should see Jesus in our lives through the actions that we take. What we see the King do, we should also do. And this is something that we should do, something that Jesus or our King, sorry, Jesus our King has done. We should be doing that. We should be doing that. Mercy is what we see, and mercy is what we should be giving out as we thirst and hunger for that righteousness. And that leads us to blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Do you see the progression? Do you see the craftsmanship of our Lord and how he has put all of this together? And just as a heads up, it continues like this all the way through to the last beatitude. Continues to build one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other. It's quite amazing. When dealing with mercy, C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. The merciful are blessed because they will be shown mercy. Have you thought on the fact that the cost of the mercy shown to you was the death of God's own Son, Jesus? Your sin, my sin, big or small in our eyes, cost somebody their life. Cost somebody their life. Think on that. When we refuse to show mercy to another, we refuse to forgive another person, then we cannot truly understand the extent of the cost for our own forgiveness. We can't truly understand the extent of our own sin. If we put it into perspective, the mercy that we have been shown by God, then friends, we would not hesitate to forgive others. It's not just a recommendation. It's a command. This is why Jesus says that we ourselves will be refused mercy. Think on it. Matthew 6:14 to 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whoa, that is a big deal, isn't it? That is a big deal. Friends, the bottom line is this. We are called to show others mercy. Don't give people what they deserve. Give them what they don't deserve. The prodigal son, fantastic example. Smeared the family name into the mud, dishonored his father, left home, wasted his inheritance on all the wrong things. And yet when he came home penniless, in disgrace, having done all these things, his father, who could have just turned his back on him and said, get out of here, instead showed amazing mercy. He ran, unheard of, to greet and embrace his son. Our amazing God is the same. He shows us unbelievable mercy so that our sins can be forgiven because of what his only begotten Son has done for us on that cross. We have been shown unmatchable mercy, and we are called to show mercy and to forgive others. Never forget that mercy is not deserved. If it was deserved, it wouldn't be mercy. Who is it that you need to show mercy and forgiveness to right now? Who is it you need to show mercy and forgiveness to right now? Who is it that you need to show mercy to by seeking forgiveness from them. Guys, do it. Let me remind you, just like the lady in our opening illustration reminded the man, Mr. Robinson, who wrote that hymn, let me reassure you that the streams of mercy, as mentioned in his song, still flow. Be like Mr. Robinson. Let it touch your heart and turn your wandering heart to the Lord. Be restored to full fellowship. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would help us to understand what it is that we have here. Lord, that you would help us to understand and to be able to, through the many circumstances, Lord, that are out there, the many scenarios where forgiveness is required, Lord, some are easier, some are exceptionally difficult. Oh, Lord, I know this, and I know that there are those that have sworn that they will never forgive another, Lord, due to whatever circumstance it might be. Oh, but Lord, I do ask that you would soften our hearts. Lord, that you would soften our hearts, and as we have received unbelievable mercy at an unbelievable cost, we also would show mercy to others. Oh, Lord, I just ask that you would help us. Help us to remember what it is that you have done. Help us to honor you, Lord. Help us to show mercy and forgiveness to others. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.